I thought we'd just turn to Psalm 91 this morning. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a good psalm to just look at once in a while. And then just, of course, the themes, the protection of God and His, to trust in Him, not to fear. And I don't know, the words are really powerful, and just the Word of God, just to remind ourselves that God is our source, that God is our refuge, that no matter what the circumstances are in this world, that will try to pull us away and make us look and to basically fear, that God is there for us. He has been. You know, this was written hundreds of years ago. And that God that was the God of these people, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, God of Peter, God of Paul, He is our God, and He knows what's going on in this earth. He knows what was coming. He's not surprised by any of the technological advances. He's not surprised by any of the weapons that they have. He's not surprised by any of the diseases that are on the earth. He's not surprised by the current strain of swine flu or any other disease. He's not surprised by AIDS. He's got an answer for every one of them. And that we can just abide in that presence, and it's very neat the way it's just laid out here. So let's just read it, and we'll just stop at different places. In Psalm 91:1, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him, and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." Any sickness, any disease, he will deliver us. There is no, there's been plagues on the earth. Of course, we didn't have the medicine we do now. But regardless, God made the human body. God's not intimidated by any sickness. It doesn't have the power to overcome us when we know the power that's in His name. John G. Lake, I don't know, you may have heard this story. At one point, this man had a revelation of healing. He saw, thousands healed. It's up in the Seattle area, I think. And there was this one point where he was, I can't remember the sickness. It was some kind of plague or something. But they had some foam off of this patient person that had just died or something. I can't remember the exact details, but he was in there with these doctors, and they were like, aren't you scared here? You can get sick. Don't you realize that? And he said, that stuff cannot harm me. And he said, put some of that under a microscope, and they did, and it was all alive and whatever. He pulled it out, he touched it, and he put it back, and it was all dead. He had a revelation of the power of God that dwells in us. We are children of Almighty God, and if we will stand on that and believe it, there is no perilous pestilence, there is no sickness, no flu, no disease that can stand in our bodies. We have to do it. We do have to make sure we stand up and say, no, that's not going to come on me. We have to take our right. And like John G. Lake had a revelation of the power of God as far as that was concerned, healing. And where we turn our attention to is what becomes into our thoughts. That's whatever we read after, whatever we hear, whatever we let to start getting our mind, that's where our thoughts go, that's where our attention goes, that's where we follow. So if we let the fear and the down thoughts that are in the world, that it's fear. I mean, there is no better word. It is fear. People are scared of what's going to happen, in this area or that area. What would happen to our children if he came down with some flu or he came down with some disease? Or what happens, if the world changes and now, somebody gets a nuclear weapon? It's fear. It's not grounded. It's not solid. It's not firm in the fact that God has been God since before any of us were alive, anybody on the face of the earth. He has lasted, before time, after time. He has outlasted all the people. He has seen people come and go. He's seen the problems come and go, but He is a rock. He is a refuge. He is a fortress. And if we'll be under Him, it's like it says there, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my rock. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. See, medicine is fine. It's good. It's good that we've made all the advances that we have. But we don't put our trust there because medicine does not solve all problems. But God, He created the human body. He knows exactly how it works. He knows exactly the antidote to any problem, period. And there is a supernatural. There is a supernatural that trumps the natural. What John G. Lake did, it's not natural that you put your finger on something and it dies. But that is, Jesus went around exemplifying that. He went around and He said, be healed, and people were healed. He said to blind eyes, be open, and they were opened. And if we will turn our attention to the Word of God and what it says, that when we put our attention there, instead of the doubt and the fear and what the world is saying, that will become real to us. That is what will that will occupy our minds. See, when we're putting all these other things in, then they become more real to us. We wonder, well, what happens if the world changes like this? What happens, you know, if I came down with this disease? What happens, you know, if the economy turns and I, you know, lose my job, or, you know, people are losing their jobs right now and things are happening like that? But if we put our trust in Him, He never changes. He has an answer for every problem. If we'll look at what the Bible says, remind ourselves, no, it doesn't matter what's going on out here. I have a promise from Almighty God. I will abide under Him. He is my rock. He is my refuge. In Him I will trust. And when the pressures of life come down on all of us, I lost my job last fall, and when that comes, And I got it back, got a different one, the better one, best job I've ever had 3 weeks later. But I tell you, when that stuff comes, what do you trust in? You know, you have a family to feed, or if something happens medically, or something happens in the world. Who do we trust? Who do we trust? Like, if I trust this chair, I give it a second thought when I sit down. I have faith that that chair will hold me up. But if it's an old rickety 100-year-old chair, you know, it looks like it's just about to break, I'm not sure. I don't just turn around and sit on it. If I don't know that chair, I've never sat on that chair, I don't know. Well, you know, I might go like this and test it. It's the same thing with God. We look to Him. The more we look to Him, the more we remind ourselves of who He is, the more we get to know Him through His Word, the more then when stuff comes, the pressures of life come, that we look and we say, no, God is my refuge, and Him I will trust. I don't see a way out of this, but I trust Him. He's going to take care of me. I don't care what the economy looks like. I don't care what this situation medically looks like. I am looking to Him, and He is more powerful. If I look to medicine can, it happens every day at different hospitals all over the world. They come and say, we can do no more. We've done everything we can do. If your trust is in the doctors and the cure for whatever disease that you may be facing is not known yet, there can come a time where they come to you and say, we can't do anymore, I'm sorry. But there is never that with God. There is never that. There is never a place where we come to some other situation, you know, like economically, sorry, there's no hope for you. You're going to be destitute. No, there's always. God fed people. He fed people in famines. He fed the Israelites with manna. He can make it work if we'll trust Him. It doesn't matter the situations. When push comes to shove, when we turn off the stuff. When I say turn off, I'm not getting down on watching anything. We just have to monitor our intake of, we have to realize that everything we read, it's just like food. Everything we eat, it affects our bodies. Everything we read, everything we listen to, it affects our mind. And if we are focusing on the wrong things, it will affect us. And then it'll start to cast doubts on God's character, or it'll start to cast doubts on His ability to provide for us. And we just have to monitor that and make sure, just like you monitor your diet, that our focus is on God and that of who He is, no matter what's going on around us. Because, man, I'm telling you, it's like a spiral. You start just listening to what people are saying and what the current situation is, you can get depressed in a hurry. You start to think there's no hope. There's no hope. Everything's going down. There's no hope. It's not true. God is faithful. So verse 3, it says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Imagine, you know, a mother bird protecting the babies. God is there. We take refuge under his wings. Therefore, we have to trust him. We have to believe that there is refuge under his wings. We have to believe, since we can't see him, that any of this stuff I'm reading actually is worth a hill of beans, and that God, this is God's word, that there is a God, that Jesus is who he says he said he was, that we can be set free in him. Those that come to God have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to believe that. So we run because we believe there's something to run to. We believe that God is who he said he was, and that these words that I'm reading are real, are powerful, because there are people in the world that would say this is a bunch of stories and it doesn't mean anything. It's just another religion. It's just stories. It's just something man made up. It's not something man made up. It's the word of God, and we have to come to believe that if we're going to run under those wings. And he says, under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You shall not be afraid that your child is going to wake up, or, you know, not wake up. He's going to be killed in the middle of the night by something. You're not going to be scared that something's going to happen in the middle of the night, that somebody's going to rob you or burglarize you or break in and murder somebody or anything else. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You know, it's a perfect example. You have the swine flu going on, or whatever they call it now. And it's, you know, right now the first strain or whatever was nothing. Well, what about the second strain? It, you know, it's just constantly on alert. You read it, it's hovering right now. Like, well, we don't know if it's going to break out. We don't know if it's going to happen. We have to be convinced that it doesn't matter what happens, that God is going to take care of us. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it does not matter what happens when that plague comes through. We are protected. Because God Almighty takes care of his children. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It doesn't matter if there's a nuclear weapon in the next town over. A suitcase bomb. It does not matter. We do not have to worry about those things. Well, what if this happens? What if I go to a sporting event? I mean, those things might still seem like a little ways off, but people talk about that stuff and they get in fear about it. It does not matter. God will take care of us. He'll make sure we're not there. He'll make sure. I don't care. And we have to get to the place where I don't care if something blows up on the next block over. I tell you what, an angel in the Old Testament took out 185,000 men like that. He can protect us. The angel just puts his hand like that. He can protect us. God is supernatural. It does not matter. He's not limited by natural means. He will protect us regardless. He is not intimidated by disease. He's not intimidated by man-made weapons. One angel took out 185,000 men. There are a lot of angels. God is more powerful than we can imagine. And he is our Father. Therefore, we are not going to be intimidated by some man-made weaponry, man-made, you know, attack, or strains that are the result of sin on the earth. People wonder, why does humanity look like it does? If God made the world, why does it look so, you know, ravaged? Because people chose to sin, because they've given in to the enemy, and that has broken down the world. This is not the way it was created. It doesn't look like. Why is there sickness and disease? Because man gave over to the devil. He is the author of sickness and disease. God did not make this. He didn't create man and then create sickness so that it could destroy man. No, he didn't. It took 900 years, some odd years, for Adam to die before that effect finally caught up with him. Methuselah lived 969 years We're not getting, our lifespans are not getting older. They've come a long way from where they first were. They've decreased. So God is our protector. God is not intimidated by sickness and disease. That's why Jesus came to redeem us from the curse of the law and from sickness and disease. So it does not matter. We need to get a revelation that we cannot be harmed, that we are protected. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It shall not. That is the strongest word you can have as far as something happening. It shall not. Shall not. You know, I've been writing requirements documents for work lately. You know, write product requirements documents of what the product will and will not do. And language is important. You write a requirement that says the product may do this. That means, you know, if we get it in and it works, it'll do that. Should do this. We'd really like to have it. It may do something down the road. Shall do it means it, the product will do that. If the product is going to ship and it's going to be called this product, it shall do that. Or it's not going to ship. Shall means it shall not come near us. It won't come near us. God Almighty word backing it up that it's not going to come near us. So when something comes near us, we have to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not, this, that, my rights are such that it prevents this. You know, do you realize people can take advantage of people in this country and take advantage of their rights without them knowing it? Happens every day. If we don't know our constitutional rights, if we don't know our rights, we can be taken advantage. Somebody can come and sucker us, and they're taking advantage. But if we stand up and say, wait a minute, you cannot do that. I'm calling my lawyer. I'm calling the police. You get off my property. Whatever. The law's on our side. The police are going to back us up because the law's on our side. And if something comes near us, we stand up and say, no, I have a right. I'm a child of Almighty God. No, you get away from me. I'm not gonna take this because the enemy's gonna try to push stuff over, but it says it shall not. If we'll stay near God, we'll know that our thoughts will not be muddied with the world's doubt and unbelief and just looking in fear. And the more we look at the Word of God, the more, if we, like it said at the beginning, he who dwells in the shadow of the Most High shall abide under the, or he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When we dwell in that place, we keep our eyes focused on God, not in a works way, but that we keep our eyes focused on him and his word. We monitor what we do, what we listen to. We keep our heart stayed on him. It's not a hard thing then to act on his word when we're keeping our mind stayed where it should be. But when we dilute it and fill it with all these other things, then we have to work it up to get rid of all that stuff, then to focus on back on what God has actually said. But he said, it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Those angels, those powerful beings that God has set as ministering spirits for us, for the elect of God, for the children of Almighty God. It says that over in Hebrews 1:14 or so, that the angels are ministering spirits for us. They're for us. That God said here, or it says here in the Bible, he shall give his angels charge over you. They are powerful. We may not be able to see them, but they are staying watch at our house. They are protecting our children. They are protecting us when we go about our way. There's this, it's a cartoon. I saw it when I was at a previous church, and I don't know where they're at in the series now, but it's called Angel Wars. And I you know, the content of it, that it's neither here nor there. I mean, doctor, all that stuff. It's just, it's an illustration of what is going on in the spiritual realm. And it's for kids and whatever. That the point of it is not, you know, to do something that just is illustrating everything in the Bible. The point of it is this person showing what's going on in the spiritual realm from a Christian perspective. Anyhow, I saw a couple sessions of that. They're about a half hour long. And Basically, it showed the war that's going on in the spiritual realm. You had these, the angels, and they're not, and it was very interesting because the things that are described in the Bible are described with the mindset of the people, what they're exposed to at that time. Like Revelation, you probably heard that talked about. When you read the Revelation, all these funky things that are being described could very well just be the modern machinery that we have, but described in terms, people had never seen a helicopter, people had never seen a tank, people had never seen a mushroom cloud, anything like that. John, when he's writing that, he just has, you know, the state of things when, you know, 2,000 years ago. So he could be very well trying to describe something that is modern in language that he really doesn't have. He doesn't have the vocabulary to describe it. So we read and go, what on earth is he talking about? I don't know. We don't know. But I'm just saying. So when we think of angels, you know, people have drawn them with these big fluffy wings and everything. Well, these angels, I'm not saying this is right or wrong. It's just interesting to think about. They're like half, I mean, they're half mechanical. I mean, they're humans, but they have armor. Not humans. They look humanoid. They look like big people. But they have this armor. I mean, their wings are like mechanized wings. They have huge, you know, weapons. These people, they're big. They can fly, yeah, but like a jet flies. You know, they pick up and their wings fold down and then they jet out. And they're super powerful. And then there's little ones that are just learning, which neither here nor there. I mean, it's just the guy, you know, guys making the show. So I don't get caught up in the, you know, whether it's perfect biblically, but he's just writing something to show what may be out there. Then the enemy is just, I mean, it's probably perfect, probably right on. These people, they're always fighting with each other. The enemy, not people, but the demons, they're wicked. They're always trying to take people down. They're trying to influence people. They're just sneaking around. They're always infighting. They don't trust each other. You know, think about it. They're all wicked. They lie all the time. So somebody tells them to do something. The guy underneath is never listening to the guy above. He's always trying to overthrow. And then they're always yelling and just treating each other horribly. But they're trying to bring people down and whispering in their ear and stuff like that. And then these angels, man, there was this one scene where this guy, something was happening to one of these humans that these people have been assigned to protect. And he was in this situation, and there was something where the enemy set something up and a bunch of stuff was going to fall on him. And they show it from both views. They show it like where you can see the spiritual realm, and then they show it just like what the people actually see, which is nothing. They don't see what's going on. And this huge thing was falling down on this kid. And what you saw was you saw the angel running and just went like this and blocked the kid and put his back there. And then they showed it from the kid's point of view, and it was just like it bumped off and twisted and crumbled next to him. But you couldn't. But in reality, what was happening was this angel protected him. And it was such a great visual of what is actually going on in each one of our lives. You ever have a close call? You're in a car and you're like, oh my goodness, that was so close. I could have been in a wreck. I've had places where I literally didn't know how I got out of it. Well, don't take those things lightly. God, have you ever almost fallen on ice? I know you actually, you know, did fall. But I mean, you know, there's situations where something almost happens to us. It's close. Don't discount those things. God is protecting us. He has sent angels. Like it says here, he shall give his angels charge over you. It is going on all the time. We have those powerful beings, and they have been given charge over us to keep you in all your ways. So it says in verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore, now this is like quoting what God has said. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Now put yourself, this is like God speaking to you. Put yourself first person here when you're reading that. Let's go back to verse 14. Because he has set his love upon Think of yourself. Because you have set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Those are powerful words. Those are comforting words. When we are being bombarded with thoughts of something else happening, of some fearful thing, we can come back and say, no, this is what God says about me. This is what God is saying about me. I've set my love upon God. Because I am a child of Almighty God, through what Jesus did, I am in the family. So just like a father or a mother would protect his or her child, God is protecting me. And he says this. Let's read it again. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Because we've called on the name of Almighty God, we have counted it worthy to be counted on. We have believed the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is all, you know, they're not referring to Jesus here. Necessarily, they didn't have Jesus. But that, you know, we have the revelation of Jesus. These things apply to us. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. People sometimes wonder, well, if I pray, will something happen? We have an assurance that God will answer us. God Almighty, when we know God and we have an assurance that he's our refuge and our trust, we don't sit there and go, well, I don't know. I guess I'll try and we'll see what happens. That's the way a lot of people look at God. I'm just going to toss something out there and we'll see. No, he is our Father. He has set angels to be in charge of us. He wants to protect us. When we call upon him, he will answer us. He shall answer. We can be bold. He shall answer us. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. If we're in trouble, we can comfort ourselves saying, no, God is with me. He said he'd be with me in trouble. Not just on the sunny days, on the days when it looks like all hell is breaking loose against me. I have an assurance that God will be with me in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. With long life, I will satisfy him. Anytime you have thoughts or something looks like, oh, you're not going to last. You're not going to make it to a certain age. That's a lie. God said he would satisfy us with old age. There is no reason we have to die early or leave this earth early. We have an assurance that we can live out our days here on this earth in health. Doesn't mean our bodies are going to be like when they were 20. They're going to be used, but we don't have to die in sickness and disease, and we don't have to go out of here early. We can have a heritage that we give to our children. We can see the salvation of God. God Almighty is our protector. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He is our deliverer. And the more we tell ourselves that, the more we encourage ourselves with this word, the more our thoughts are naturally going to go that way. The less we're going to have to battle thoughts of fear, or battle thoughts of worry or anxiety, the more we fill ourselves or fill our thoughts, and when the thoughts try to come, we just push them. No, God said he is my refuge. He said, no disease is going to come my way. The more we replace those other fearful thoughts with these thoughts, the easier it becomes. Pretty soon, that's the rut we're in. Pretty soon, it's hard to believe that something bad will happen. Because we're so ingrained in just believing that God is going to protect us, God is going to take care of us, that in this situation, God has been faithful before. He's going to be faithful here. He said it. He's done it for thousands of years, for thousands of people that believe him. And it gets hard to believe anything else. We can flip it. We can flip it to where we are so built up and so enjoying him, it's hard to imagine anything bad happens. So if something looks like it's bad happening, we say, wait a minute, this doesn't line up with what God said. No, God, thank you for doing what you said you would do. You're with me in trouble. You are working, even though I can't see it. And we go on and we just enjoy life with him. And we don't go down the worry path that most people in the world are. They're being fed it. And we don't have to do that. Thank God. He is good God. He is there for us all the time.